We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 2, if you would turn there. And yes, today is the day we're singing all those extra Christmas carols that we haven't sung yet. Every year it seems like someone comes to me and says, how come we didn't sing this song? So we're trying to get through all of them. I'm sure I still left out one or two, but we try to cover as many of them as we can, but we only have so many weeks, and there are a lot of songs, so I hope that we got the one you're waiting for. Matthew also mentioned that this will be the final sermon of our Christmas series, and that is also true, as we've been looking at the birth of Christ in the Gospel of Luke. We've looked at the opening couple chapters, and we're going to end today in chapter 2, verses 8 through 21, with the angels appearing to the shepherds out in the field. So if you're there, I'm going to read from verse 1. This was what we looked at last week, but I'm going to read all the way to verse 21 with you. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel of multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So as we've come through this Christmas season, and as we've celebrated Christmas just this past week, we focused in on the birth of Christ. And this has been a celebration of Christians for almost 2,000 years, close to it now. And it's been something that Christians around the globe have celebrated as we've come to this holiday. But what's really interesting about it is how, as big of a holiday as it is, and as big of a maybe a place on our calendar each year as it is, when Jesus was actually born, it was quite unspectacular. It was pretty much a non-event. Certainly, it was an important event, but the whole world barely noticed. In fact, only a handful of people noticed at all. And this might be the greatest surprise as we read the account that we find here in Luke, that Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, the one from the line of David, the royal son, had been born, and yet no one really noticed. In fact, we're told there that there was no place even for them to stay. There was no place in the inn, we're told. And they had to ultimately lodge where animals were typically kept. This reminds me of something Jesus would later say in his life as he was in the midst of his ministry when folks wanted to follow him, and Jesus said to them, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Throughout Jesus' life, this was a picture. When Jesus was born, it was showing what kind of life he would live, what kind of Savior he would be. So as we would expect this grand arrival, again, of a royal son of David, the long-awaited Messiah, we get pretty much the opposite, pretty much unnoticed. Now, that was what we looked at last week. But as we look at this week, we're looking at the news that went out from that moment when Christ came into the world, the news that traveled and how people heard of it first. When I think about this, I think of birth announcements today. And when we think about a baby being born, we're often so focused on it. It's a grand event in the life of the parents and of the baby. When there's a baby born, pictures are sent, letters are sent, posts are made on social media. People know about it almost instantly. It's a grand event. And even today, even before the actual birth, we've made events out of things leading up to the birth. One of the big trends right now in our world is what are known as gender reveal parties, where you have this huge party just to let people know it's a boy or it's a girl that's going to be born. And those things have become quite an event in and of themselves. It's not simply getting a few people together and saying we're having a boy or we're having a girl. Now you have to do it in some grand way. For instance, you have to release a million balloons that are all pink telling people, hey, we're having a girl. Or you have to have an airplane roll across the sky with a sign trailing behind it saying it's a boy. You have to do some kind of grand, spectacular thing to let people know that this baby is coming and what it's going to be. But the normal expectation is there's a great welcome when a baby is born. But this is so opposite of what we find with Jesus. Again, there was no phone calls, there were no social media posts, and there was no real announcement at all that Jesus was born. Except what we find here in Luke. It tells us that in the same region, the same area, so somewhere nearby, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. So there were these shepherds. It doesn't tell us why these specific shepherds were chosen. I imagine they just happened to be nearby. They were out in the field. And so someone had to be told, and so the shepherds were told. And it tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It tells us here that these shepherds were out in the field tending their flocks, and all of a sudden it says an angel of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord. We need to make sure we get that straight, because in the Old Testament there are times where we see the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord himself. But here it says an angel of the Lord. This means a messenger from God. So we have an angel of the Lord appearing to talk with these shepherds, and it tells us that when the angels see the shepherd, or the shepherds see the angel, they are filled with fear. They're afraid of what they are seeing, but the angel has to calm them down. "Fear not," he says. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." An angel was simply a messenger sent from God to relay a message from God to the people. And so he says, "Fear not, I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This word here, as he says this word "good news" is the word we get gospel from. It's the word that means, gospel means good news. So here, what we're finding here is this angel is declaring the gospel to these shepherds, the birth of a Savior. He says there'll be good news of great joy that will be for all the people. But what makes this news of great joy? Well, ultimately, we know, because as we continue reading the Gospels, it will be because this baby who had been born would be the baby, the person who would be able to bring reconciliation between God and man. It's this child would be the one who would go to the cross to die for the sins of mankind and bring reconciliation between God and man and bring us salvation. So it would be great joy for all the people here, it says. Now, I want to point out, too, that when it says here, for all the people, it doesn't say all people, all the people. By adding that word "the" here, you're making a division. It's saying that for the people, there's a certain group of people, not all people, that this will be good news of great joy for. But why would the angel say that? Why is Christ's birth good news for some but not for others? Well, again, as we continue reading through the Gospels, we will learn that Christ's sacrifice for sin is good news for those who will place their trust in Jesus Christ. It will bring forgiveness of sin. It will wipe away our sin. It will bring us Christ's righteousness. As we've been studying the book of Romans, we've talked a great deal about this. Those who place their trust in Jesus Christ have their sins atoned for, but we are also given the righteousness of Christ. So that when we stand before God, we are reconciled and we are declared righteous because of Christ and what he has done for us. So this is good news of great joy for all who turn to Christ in faith, those who acknowledge their sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Of course, that also means that for those who do not do that, this is not good news at all. Because this declares that God has judged sin, and that ultimately those who are in their sin will be judged as well. So this will be for those, good news of great joy for all those who believe. The angel goes on to talk about more about this child, why this child would be good news of great joy for the people. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So the angel now tells us about this baby, who this baby is exactly. And he gives us four different facts here about this child who has been born. He first of all points out that this baby is born in the city of David. This is something that the Gospel of Luke has told us many times about this child, one who would be born from the line of David. This is important because the long-awaited Messiah has now come. The one who would come from the line of David, Luke has been pointing out to us multiple times that Jesus is the one who fulfills that, comes in that line. And now the angel is saying the same thing. This child, the one born to you, is from the line of David. He is the long fulfillment of that promise made to David. But he is also a Savior. What exactly does that mean, a Savior? Well, Savior is one who delivers. He's a deliverer. And in this case, he's one who delivers from great harm and destruction. But what harm and destruction are we talking about here? You see, the Jewish people were waiting for a Savior who would deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. But this Savior would be one who would deliver them from something far greater and deliver all of mankind from something far greater, because Christ came not to deliver us from a governmental oppression, but to deliver us from the ultimate destruction that our sin brings us. We are under judgment for our sin, condemned to an eternity of punishment. But Christ came as a Savior, as a deliverer, to release us from that. So Christ has come to be a Savior. And it goes on. So he's from the line of David, he's a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. Now, here in our translations, it tells us, my translation says, who is Christ the Lord? And I'm pretty sure every translation I checked says something very similar, who is Christ? Well, the literal Greek there has the word the, who is the Christ. And the reason I point this out is because we often think of the word Christ as kind of like his name. Jesus Christ. It would actually be Jesus the Christ. The word Christ is not a name, but a title. See, the word Christ simply is the Hebrew or the Greek form of the Hebrew word Messiah. Both words mean the anointed one. So when we read this, he's from the line of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord. Now, when the Jewish people would hear this word Christ or Messiah or anointed one, it would remind them of the Old Testament days when a king or a priest would be anointed with oil for their position. It would show that this was God's chosen one who is now occupying their position. And so the angel is now telling them that this baby who was born in Bethlehem was this anointed one, the Messiah. Again, the people had been waiting for this anointed one who would come from the line of David. And the angel is announcing that this is that one from the line of David, a Savior, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, has been born. But then we get to this last piece. So he's told us three things. He's of David, he's a Savior, he's Christ. But now we find the fourth one here about this baby, the Lord. Now this is an extremely important word here, and especially as we've been studying the Gospel of Luke. Up until now, Luke has used the word Lord over a dozen times. And in every single usage of the word Lord, up until this point, Luke has used it to attach it to God. And so when now we hear that this is Christ the Lord, we have to understand that this angel is pronouncing the fact that this baby is God in the flesh. This is a divine child. He's not only the royal son of the line of David, but he is the holy son of God. Imagine hearing these words. He has all the authority of a king, but he has the sovereign authority of the King of Kings. God himself in the flesh. So when you hear this is good news of great joy for all the people, because for unto you is born this day of the line of David, a Savior, a Deliverer, who is the Messiah, who is the Lord. You can imagine why this truly is great news. Good news of great joy. Because God had come himself to deliver the people from their sins. Again, just think about this. God had come in the flesh. And imagine the circumstances around this birth. There was not even room for them in the inn, the guest room. So they had to make their arrangements where animals were typically kept. When the baby was born, he was laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. When the announcement went out, it went out to these shepherds that happened to be in a field nearby, just out keeping their sheep. This was the grand announcement of this child from the line of David, the Lord himself. So how are the shepherds, it says here, verse 12, and it says, and this will be a sign for you. This will be the evidence of what I'm saying is true, is basically what is being said here, as the angel speaking to the shepherds. This will be a sign for you. This is the purpose of a sign. It's something that points to, it's the evidence for the claim. This is what the miracles of Christ were all about. They were a sign that the things that Jesus was saying were true. He would heal people as a sign that he had the authority to say the things he was saying. So the angel says, here's the sign for you that what I say is true. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So if you want to go check this out, go over to Bethlehem and you will see this. You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger in a feeding trough, just as I have told you. And it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So after this grand announcement, we see the heavenly host break out in worship of God. Glory to God for what has taken place. Have you ever thought to yourself, though, why shepherds? The Son of God has come into the world as a baby, born in these humble circumstances. The announcement goes out, and the announcement ends up going out to some shepherds that happened to be out in the field that night. But why them? Why did the shepherds hear this announcement? When the angel came to proclaim it, why them? I think there's significance to it. I think that, it points to what Jesus' mission was. See, Jesus had come to be good news for all the people. All the people who would trust in him. He did not come just for the elite. He didn't come for the rich and the powerful. Though if they trusted him, he certainly came for them as well. But he also came for the common person. The person who had very little power, very little influence in the world. Or no influence at all in many cases. A shepherd was just a common person. Oftentimes they were low social standing, they had very meager incomes, and the announcement goes out to shepherds, I believe, because it tells us exactly the type of person that Christ had come to save. He was a savior for all who would trust in him. So as the shepherds hear this announcement, and as they hear the worship of the heavenly host singing and praising God, it says in verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's go see this. Let's go see for ourselves. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Just as the angel had told them, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So as they go to find this is exactly what they find, a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Now it says here that they made known everything that they had heard, the saying, it says, the words that they had received. And it says here, all who heard it wondered at what the child's told them. The idea of wondered here isn't they were wondering if they were telling them the truth or not. But the idea of wondering here is the idea of they were in awe. They were in a sense of wonder. They were amazed at what the shepherds were telling them. It says, but Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So as the shepherds see this, as they see the evidence, the sign of Christ lying in a manger, it says, now they also glorify God. Just as the angels had been glorifying and praising God, now these shepherds are glorifying and praising God as well. It says, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, as we think about this, it's again, it's an amazing thing to think that this long-awaited one from the line of David, who is the Son of God himself, could come into the world in such circumstances that hardly anyone notices. And the people who do notice are people who are your run-of-the-mill people who had very little power or influence in the world. It was like the nobodies of society who got the news. But this points us to exactly who Jesus is, what kind of Savior he would be, a Savior for all who would trust in him. And the response of the shepherds is one that I think we need to think about as well. We often go through this time of the year when we celebrate Christmas, but we barely pay attention to what the holiday is really about. It has become more of a tradition of gift-giving than a tradition of remembering the birth of our Savior. But look at the response of the shepherds and the angels before them. When they think about what God has done, they glorify and praise God. This time of the year should be a time of worship, a time of praise as we think of the birth of Jesus Christ. God coming into the world to save us from our sin. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, know that he came to save you. He came to save all who would believe. Scripture tells us that we are all sinners. We are all separated from God by our sin. And because of our sin, we all fall under condemnation. But Jesus came to die in our place, to take our sins away, so that we could be reconciled to God and have eternal life in his presence. This morning, know that a Savior has been born. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus Christ came to die for all who would believe and bring salvation. He's our Savior. And if you're here this morning and you trust in Christ, you too will be saved. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the birth of our Savior. Lord, help us this holiday to reflect and remember what you have done. Let it lead to praise and worship in our own lives. And Lord, for those who do not believe, I pray that their eyes would be open, hearts would be softened, and at this Christmas they would come to know who this baby is, the Messiah, the one from the line of David, the Savior, God in the flesh. We thank you again, and we praise you for all you have done. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.